This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America. Gabris is here telling you to check out another podcast. Thank you for listening to mine. But while you're listening to mine, I want to give you an ad for another podcast. I want to tell you about Green Eggs and Dan, a great podcast from the multi-talented Dan Adut. I love Dan. We worked together on a bajillion dollar properties, and we've done some other stuff together. I really like him. He's an actor, writer, restaurateur, and comedian you might recognize from Netflix's Cobra Kai and Kevin James's The Crew. On each episode of his podcast, Dan quizzes a famous guest about a very personal topic, their fridge. This season, guests include legendary chef Jacques Pepin, Modern Family star Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Food Lab author J. Kenzie Lopez-Alt, and Emmy-winning actor Henry Winkler will show Dan what's in their fridges. I believe I'm also on this upcoming season, but definitely not as famous as these people. But since I'm advertising for Dan's podcast on mine, I should probably mention I guested on Green Eggs and Dan and had a blast. And you'll see Dan on an upcoming High and Mighty for sure. The conversation starts with food. Where it ends? Well, you'll just have to tune in to find out. Subscribe, listen, and discover something new about your food says about you on Green Eggs and Dan, wherever you listen to podcasts. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, standing 6'2", 295 pounds, from Nassau County, Long Island. It's the number one fuckboy, Johnny G. John Gabers. All you gotta do is trust me. Also joining me in the High, that's Jackson Maine, of course. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabers. Arthur, give him a shout out. Pan the webcam for the guests. There's already basking in the sun. And back, speaking of those aforementioned guests, one guest returning, one guest here for the first time, been a big fan of them for a long time, and they have a fucking podcast together called That's Messed Up, SVU Podcast. It's Lisa Traeger and Kara Clank.
Yeah!
I'm officially sweating my ass off.
That is wild.
He died as he lived, introducing a podcast.
He died as he lived, screaming at strangers. I'm so pumped you guys could do this. This is so exciting.
And I love your Zoom name.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that just helps when I... It's helpful... not on my podcast as much as when I'm guesting on other podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've definitely, I'm assuming, you know, Lisa, as I just panicked trying to read it, I'm like, I'm going to say it wrong. You have a name like that, you're just like, I just want you to get it right. It's so easy to get wrong. My name is as phonetic as yours is, and it's like, people still just get it wrong.
Yeah.
My favorite story is one time the Belushi That's Alive brought me up on stage as Leslie, and I love that.
That's the real like, if people say Gabris, I go, that's understandable, that's phonetic. But when people say Garbus, I'm like, you got it, you like, oh, mixed, yeah, two letters. And that's the most common misspeak. is Garbus.
I guess, get Clara a lot because Kara and Clank. I get Clara.
That
K-L-A-R-A.
And that's not a real name.
I mean, I don't think so.
No.
I think that's where Italian girls get their ears pierced at. Clara's. What is it Kara or Kara, depending on location, or do you have a specific pronunciation in your
I just
head?
Say Kara.
You say Kara.
But if British people call me Kara, I don't care.
Yeah. Call you know? Clunk.
Kara. Yeah. Because that's like how they say it. But yeah, if it's American people, I'm like, it's Kara.
Yeah.
British that people doing impressions of me is one of my favorite things in life.
Oh.
It's really funny. They really make me sound like such a dumb bitch. And I like it.
My Australian friend tried to do an impression of me talking the other day, and it was like, he sounded like Ryan Gosling, a Ryan Gosling shitty character. I'm not trying to steal Ryan Gosling. He was just like, hey, it's me, Gabris. You know, and I was like, I don't think I sound like that, man.
Where is Ryan Gosling? I haven't seen him in a while.
You used to see him all the time, right?
Yeah.
He used to be so close.
Where is Ryan Gosling? He left 2 hours ago to get coffee for us, and I haven't seen him in fucking... What the fuck, man?
Dude, I would love to just randomly be friends with someone that famous. It sounds like a hoot.
One of our friends is, like, randomly very good friends with Rachel McAdams, speaking of, like, the Notebook people.
Oh, wow.
And he's just, like, he'll just be like, oh, yeah. And then when I was with Rachel the other day, I'm like, what is it like to just have, like, a super famous friend, like, that's to that level?
Yeah, but she's grounded. She lives in Canada. You know, she doesn't love the Hollywood thing. She doesn't count.
Yeah.
Sorry.
She had, like, hidden baby. She did, like, secret pregnancies. Yeah.
Just, you know, classic. I know someone whose like best friend is Adam Levine, and they'll just be like, yeah, I went to Vegas with Adam, and it was, and like the Vegas story sounds like, oh yeah, that's not something I've ever done in Vegas. It's like, oh, I now remember who you went with, all that. Yeah, that
and
makes
how
sense.
Do they know each other?
They like both from California or something, like they grew up, like they know each other from like high school.
That's fine.
They met each other getting that huge California tattoo on their abs. They were both getting one. And they were like,
they both were sitting in chairs, spun around to pick the other person and realize, oh my God, we went to high school together. This is the voice. So you guys have a podcast dedicated entirely to an iconic show that I think is both overrated and underrated simultaneously. It's both elevated and lowbrow. It's procedural and game-changing. And it's the TV show of choice of daytime hotel TV.
Yes.
It's just... Law & Order is so... It's such a powerful... I'm assuming you guys saw Mickey Rourke's recent, like...
Yes.
Post
expose.
About... Expose. His manifesto about Law & Order. And Ice Cube, man. Ice-T, you're crushing it, my friend.
It's literally... He just discovered a show that's been on for 22 seasons and decided to
give
it a review.
Ubiquitous show that exists. There's 11 versions of it. The one he's talking about is the most famous that's been around forever. And he's like, anyone else catch this shit? Now that I've been working out in my living room. That is how you fall in love with Law & Order, though, is being a road comic and having a day in the hotel where you're like, I'm too hungover to walk around, so I'm just going to lay in air conditioning. And then you're like, what's on TV? Law & Order's on 3 channels. I'll pick one episode. Oh, shit, this is the one with, you know, insert
New really,
York actor.
I actually really love the way you described it, and I think we have to cut it and, like, use that.
We're gonna play a clip.
I like
on our podcast.
You said like procedural but groundbreaking, and it's you put it so perfectly. I'm kudos. I've never
it's like,
said that out loud. Kudos.
Fuck, now's the time. It's sort of like those guys who make high-end McDonald's those chefs who make high-end McDonald's burgers. Like,
yeah,
it's sort of like people are putting a lot of effort, a lot of money, and a lot of time into making entertainment for the masses. So it's like, it's not like they're writing it off like, oh, whatever, this is for everybody. It's like, no, this is for everybody. Let's fucking, you know, by year 26, you start really hammering and down this, you know, you start really figuring out the format, I feel like.
Yeah, but always changing, always doing wild, different things, different eras of the show, of course. And it's been really fun. Because our show, we like jump around. So
that's so much a smarter idea than being like, we're still in season three, where it's like, oh, like,
no.
Got 21 more episodes left to talk about.
Because we have favorites. We have favorites. Yeah. So we want to talk about our fucking favorites and get the celebrities that we love to guest on it.
Yeah, and we talk about the true crime that the episode was based on, and they're not all specifically based on a true crime. Like, some of them, you could shoehorn some of them into a story you've heard or whatever, but, you know, we're picking ones that are based on, like, crimes we're interested in, the celebrity guests we want to get, you know, et cetera.
And that's the most fucked up part of our journey, because you watch the show and you love it, we love it, and then you start researching the real crime, and you're like, oh no, this happened to someone and it's much worse than we could have ever imagined.
And a bunch of people made a bunch of money off of this poor woman's murder that I now throw on when I'm like half jerking off, half getting ready to go out for the night in my house. I'm like, oh yeah, we found her inside out on the BQE. It's like, haha, that's crazy. And it's like, some kid is watching it. It's like, that's my aunt. Like, that's the story of my aunt was the inside out lady on the BQE. Oh my God. It heightens so great too. Like, I just love how the show has got, like, it's got its, if we're talking exclusively SVU, it's got its core people that we all love. And the game, like, the fact that Maloney has daughters, Stabler has daughters, is such a funny runner for, like, how frequently it comes up, to the point where if you're, like, Munch or Olivia or anyone, wouldn't you just be like, I think you need to transfer to, like, robbery, homicide, dude? Like, maybe having three young girls, also insane writing. It's like, I have three daughters, so they'll always be the age of something that's happening to someone. It's like, that's like my 14-year-old daughter. That's like my 21-year-old daughter. It's like, it's too convenient in a dangerous... Anyone would go Stabler. Let's maybe SWAT, maybe something like, you know, hostage negotiation.
Yeah, it's kind of a common trope where, like, the parents of the victim or suspect or whatever would be like, detective, do you have children? And it's like, maybe Benson doesn't, but she's still upset about what's happening. You know what I mean? Like,
They gave Maloney five. They gave him five. He goes, yeah, I have five.
Like, I have five innocent daughters. Why? What happened to them? What do you know?
Yeah, it's funny because, like, we love Stabler. Like, you know, obviously Christopher Maloney's really talented. Like, you know, he's the face of that show for 11 seasons and then he left, or 12 seasons and then he left. And then now he's kind of back with his own spinoff. And it's like, when you do a podcast about him now in 2021, it's like, he is bad. I mean, he's like police brutality, toxic masculinity. Like, he is like, we're like, yeah, I mean, sure. Would I love him to throw me up against a file cabinet? Of course. But, like, you know, maybe you should, like, do this by the book. Like, everything. It's just funny now because we get it. We have a younger group of a younger audience too. In like a portion of our audience that's younger, that's like, no thanks.
Well, that's really crazy. This is unpacking the shit you grew up watching.
Right.
Everything I grew up watching, especially as like a little action movie loving kid in the 80s and 90s, was like, you know what? It's time a white guy with a gun just took things into his own hands and, like, fixed the city or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, I just grew up watching hours of that a day. And I think I ended up on, like, the safe side of fucked up. Right. And I just think about, like, people like President Trump also fucking watched all that same shit. And it broke his brain in that he's like,
I don't
fell in love with soldiers and generals and cops and shit.
Yeah. Do sociopaths watch things?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like, Dexter never caught a show. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
they might edit that part out of the series, Dexter. Like, I never read the books,
Dexter's,
but I'm
like,
sure there's
he's like, I'm about to go do this murder when I finish fucking binging The Circle on Netflix. Yeah.
I love Buteau.
That's the thing. Do you guys watch you guys, I know Kara does. Do you watch The Americans?
No, but that's something that's been recommended to me a handful of times.
It's good, but it is this thing of, like, they just don't have enough time. How are they spies, parents, real estate agents, going to a party?
They're travel agents.
Yeah.
It's like 24, too, like, where it's like, if they're really doing the minute-by-minute thing, you mean, like, so every commercial Kiefer is dumping out. Yeah. Like, he's always shitting in the six-minute break in commercials.
I used to work at a hair salon. This was, like, 11, 12 years ago. A lot of roller derby girls work there. And there was one girl I'll never forget, and she was Queefer Sutherland.
Ah, great name.
Such a good name.
That was a improv group at UCB, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember some of the all-female group names were Queefer Sutherland, Scotchaturi Tape, and Tuna Fey, which I liked as well.
And I was in an all-female group just called Topanga.
Oh, that one also works. I like that.
I do like
that. I was in an all-male group called Harold Knight.
I'm proud to say.
I was in a classic 6-2 structure. Six men, two women, all white, doing improv.
No improv groups for me.
And look at you. You've made it.
And we're all fine.
We're all doing the same exact job, except I did hundreds of hours of free work.
Well, I do open mics, you know. Like, yeah, I did open mics. I just, the moment, like improv for me, the moment I found stand-up, improv was too positive for me. Good job. Let's do it. We got each other. Like, I enjoyed bar anger.
Yeah, I refused to do the pat you on the back, I got your back thing. I was like, this is too positive for me.
That's a highlight of improv for me. That's like one of the better things is just someone saying they have your back.
I do love summer camp, but you know what? We talk a lot of shit at summer camp. It's like, you know, there's also a dark side.
Yeah. Well, that is improv world too, is like adult summer camp.
Yeah.
Like it is for the people with wealthy parents. It is more like Jewish people. It is for, I'm trying to think who else classically goes to camps, summer camps.
But I did, we got to do improv in high school, our theater department. And so we put on a sketch, an improv show. And I got in trouble after the first show because I mimed like sucking a dick. Like I got on my knees for the freeze game show. And, you know, afterwards we're all meeting for notes. And he was like, are you fucking kidding me? In front of the parents? Like, what are you doing?
That makes me so fucking happy, by the way.
When I took improv 201, I was with John Daly, and then he had to leave to go like film something. So Neil Casey took over our class, who's a good friend of yours. And we had a girl in our class who just kept initiating scenes about fucking. Like she was like, so are you gonna fuck me? And like just she would like pretend to take her pants off, and like Neil had to stop her at one point and go, what's going to happen? Are you going to follow through with this? Like, what are you doing? Like,
you're really painting yourself into a corner here for how these scenes are supposed to go.
Right. And it's like, you know, and then he had to tell her not to be in our final class show. She wasn't allowed. Because she kept trying to fuck everybody. It was really...
She is now a teacher at UCB. Oh, she was trying to fuck everyone? Now she's a wild success in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, theater dorks, fucking band, you know, that's like a category of life.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Well, speaking of theater, that's something that Law & Order taps into as being a New York taped show, is like having the theater people, having New York actors on, like having, well, to me, he was big at the time, but Chris Noth, like having him on, like Jerry Orbach, this all felt like, it felt like New York. And as a Long Islander and like loving the city, I was like, so steeped in the show. And then you talked about it a little bit, but this is maybe a meta game to being a fan of Law & Order, is like the guest star episodes. Cause it's like, there's a Gaffigan does an episode.
Oh
like
yeah.
Colbert does an episode. I mean, so many people, but like stand up comics that you're just like, when they're in, the, like Robin Williams does one. He did one as
dude, Martin Short.
Charlie
does
Todd.
One.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Charlie Todd did one?
No, Robin Williams is pretty much Charlie Todd in the based on a ripped from the headlines way. He's doing improv everywhere stunts. They're like freezing in Grand Central and stuff.
Yes.
So it's weirdly a episode of Law & Order about improv everywhere, where Robin Williams is like the leader of that little organization.
Yeah, but then if like Robin Williams was like kidnapping Olivia Benson and like, or if Charlie Todd was doing that.
Yes, exactly. That's the crime part.
Did you see the stand-up comedy episode?
No.
Oh,
there's a stand-up comedy rape episode.
There's this, did an episode based on this comic who got accused of like raping a waitress in like, I think on the road or whatever. He's like a clubby guy that like,
I was going to say, herein lies an awful line/joke. which comic are we referring to?
I don't think he's not like somebody in like our peer group. Like he's older and he's a road guy, but like they did this full episode about him and Jonathan Silverman plays him.
Oh shit.
They shoot a whole scene at the comic strip on the Upper East Side where I used to perform. And when the when the gang walks in, like Olivia and Ice-T and people, he goes, "Oh, look, everybody, it's the sex police." And everyone in the audience goes, "Boo." It's this insane setup where everybody hates the NYPD. And I'm like, that's not really the vibe since 9/11. I mean, maybe now, but like at this time, like
they were, they did pretty well from 2001 to about 2017, 2018.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, and I don't think people are specifically the sex police, the people that help women and children. And then there was a show in New York called, oh my God, I'm blanking. I have pregnancy brain. What is it called? The Halloween show.
Trick or treat.
And I played the fictional rape comic from
Holy shit. Layers, Clank. Layers.
It was funny because the people that got it really loved it, and the people that didn't were like, what's happening? And I was like, bye. That's my time. You get like a minute.
How did they introduce you?
They introduced me as fictional rape comic Josh, whatever, or like whatever the guy's name was. Yeah.
They were like, rape comic. They were like, from Undateable. Like, what? Like, just so, it's so crazy. Like, Law and Order was ahead of the time with that.
Completely.
It's like they were like, shining lights on, or like that's some like with John everything. Oliver shit.
They're ahead of the times with everything. Even if they say like old timey things that are not cool, there's always a character explaining the good, and like they are ahead of their time.
We have looked into a bunch of cases where we're like, oh, this is based on this murder, and then we look it up and we're like, no, Law and Order did this first. Like Law and Order did the crime before the crime happened in weird ways. Like
Law and Order came up with this murder.
Yeah, and in this one, in this episode, we were interviewing Eric McCormick, you know, from Will and Grace, and we're talking, having a pleasant convo, and then I fucked up and I was like, so do you know the real life case of that woman that was murdered and left in a suitcase in the garbage dumpster? And he was like, that's terrible. Like, why are you bringing this up? He was like, so turned off by it. And this is
they're ambushing
before.
Me with brutal shit.
Yeah.
They're like, damn. Like,
we think everybody's like super into researching their roles, and a lot of them are like, we come for a day. It's like, I mean, it's a day player thing. I'm not like creating a backstory.
I do love, excuse me, how much stuff Law and Order introduced me to in the way like The Simpsons did in my childhood, where I was like, I learned what Clockwork Orange was from Simpsons.
Simpsons tarot deck.
Oh shit. Yeah. That's hyper specific. That's awesome. But like truly, like The Simpsons taught me about so many references. I feel like Law and Order did the same thing, because it would be like Law and Order. Someone just had a Google alert on the Law and Order staff. That's like, what is new shit? Cause we just, I remember watching an episode when they're like, the cold open was people were geocacheing.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is this? And you look it up and it's like, wow, it is a subculture.
Gabris.
And it's like,
that's the episode with Eric McCormick.
Yes. Is it really?
Yes. It starts out with them geocaching.
Oh my God. Cause they find, and oh shit. And here's the other thing about this is Law and Order has this power, just like Seinfeld has this power to me. There's such action-packed shows. There's so much meat in every episode that you're like, yeah, the puffy shirt episode is funny. The man hands episode. And someone's like, that's the same episode. And you're like, what? And you're like, these two huge iconic pop culture references happen in the same 22-minute span. It's like, this is exactly the thing. I did not even realize that when I brought this up. I have goosebumps because I love kismet and serendipity shit.
The Simpsons for sure. Like, I don't know who Pablo Neruda is, but I know about it because of The Simpsons.
Oh, I know Boutros Ghali is because of David Letterman. Like, the amount of things I because comedy was my way. I mean, I learned the story of King Arthur from Monty Python. You know what I mean? Like, just like the amount of things where it's like, that's actually, and then when you learn it in school, you're like, wow, I actually know about this because Bart referenced this or whatever.
Even stupid pop culture things, I realized that I saw Spaceballs like 12 times before I ever saw Star Wars. Yeah. So then when I saw Star Wars, I was like, this is like an unfunny Spaceballs. Why am I watching this?
That
like,
happened to me with Weird Al Yankovic. I had a Weird Al tape before I knew the popular songs, and that blew my mind for sure.
You are just like the only person who's like, I like his originals. I didn't know he did parodies. I just fell in love with his voice. Like a surgeon? Whack.
But SVU, and not even reference, but like, yeah, I didn't know about Pico, where if you eat lead, you might become, it might fuck up your brain. Like, I learned lessons about, I always bring up the incest. If you're an adult, if there's two adults incesting, that's legal.
Oh.
I didn't know
you
that.
You always bring that up, you said.
I do.
She brings every, it up as
I
one
ruin
of the
every
main
Thanksgiving
lessons.
With this fact. Just a heads up, family.
She brings it up as one of her main lessons that she learned from the show.
One of the best lessons I learned, something that's really helped me in life, is... the show is great for shit like that. It's like... Well, they were 69ing. 69ing, it's where you mutually pleasure each other with oral sex. It's like the way you can like learn quick random things. It's like a rainbow. You don't know what a rainbow party is. It's where you put lipstick on your mouth.
Yeah,
and you're like.
A rainbow party for sure. Autoerotic asphyxiation. Like there was an episode where a woman basically like cattle prods this guy's like fucking prostate right after she kills him to get his sperm out. Like, and I'm like, okay, I guess I know that that's something that can be done now. Like, there's
that would be the way how young Gabrus would learn about artificial insemination. You know what I mean? To be like, oh, did you know you could actually get sperm from a dead body if you cattle prod the prostate? Like, that to me would be like, that's an interesting scientific fact as a little kid. And meanwhile, I'm like, why do you know this, kid?
A lot of our listeners like talk about, they write to us and they say that they started watching the show when they were really young. They're like, I watched the show when I was like 9 or 10. It was like too young. Like,
I was 1,000% too young. 1,000. And like I would watch it with my co-viewing with like my dad or my mom. And I remember this distinctly, my dad saying shit like, guilty. He's guilty. You know, like, Johnny, he did it. Yeah, I know. And it's like, in hindsight, like, as a kid, I was like, that's really smart, Dad. And then you, like, watch it as an adult. And you're like, okay, Dad, you don't need to brag to your son that you know who killed it. It's like this, the classic Law & Order crime solve is that it's the most famous person
it's
in
the
first
guest
act.
Star. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't bring John Stamos on the show to, like,
just
come in for 5 seconds and then leave.
Man, Law & Order is so ubiquitous that people have chunks in their stand-up. I mean, like, Mulaney did, like, obviously early on, he had that big favorite, that kind of bit that broke through. But, like, Law & Order is, like, it's such a universal experience that people could talk about it like flying or the annoying coworker in your stand-up. Like, it's so easily universal because everyone's like,
and right now,
yeah, I know what Law & Order is.
With TikTok, it's awesome. People are dancing to the theme song. People are making, my favorite genre is black people being like, when I say ACAB, I don't mean this lady. Or like, they're like, we love her. We go way back. And with Maloney's ass, like it has hit a really cool
pop
culture
moment. That's only gotten stronger. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just like not water cooler shows anymore because of like, you know, streaming and like there's just so much content out there and no one's all watching the same thing. And I'm not saying everybody's like keeping up watching like the current episodes of SVU like I am, but like, you know.
But it's in the ether. You don't not know.
You've seen it. Like you barely ever meet a person that's like, I've never seen one episode of it. You're like, what? Yeah. Like you've never been to a hotel? Like I'm confused. Yeah. Like
you've never turned on a TV?
Yeah.
If you turn on it, but in the before smart TVs, if you turned on a television randomly, you had like a 35% chance that Law & Order would be on, maybe a 15% chance that it would be a commercial during an episode of Law & Order, and then like 50% anything else. But it was so frequently almost Law & Order. Like the hotel shuffle is TNT, TBS, just like pop, at least in the
2000s.
Are you a Forensic Files person as well or no?
No, no. Is that one of the real reality ones, or is that one of the?
It's like a more like a docu-series. They do reenactments.
That's just
like
another hotel. For me, it's like SV right. Forensic Files, and then Bravo, and then Kardashians, and then I'll do like a South Park Family Guy.
That's a lot of hotels don't have Bravo, sadly. A lot of hotels, I feel like.
Yeah.
I'll bump down and just watch Mario Lopez explaining what movies are on the hotel network. I'll have that playing all day in my room being like, why am I going slowly insane? And it's like, oh, because someone's just been talking the same 8-minute patter over and over and
they
over again.
They just replay it. Oh, my God.
I'm proud of him. You know, he just kept that career going. And
dude, he
nice.
Fucking rules. He's good at it, man. It's crazy.
Who would have thought that AC Slater would have been the most successful of all of them?
Right. Who would have? Oh, God. That is because you would guess Kapowski or
I would think
Morris.
Kelly, Zach, you know, the kind of the main characters.
Also, I don't know. Zach has been on SVU.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, he has. I was a big CI Law and Order fan. I love D'Onofrio.
You like D'Onofrio. See, he's too much of a weirdo for me.
Hey, that's exactly what I like about him. He's in a completely different show than everyone else on that show. He does, this is my impression of, because I at the time when it was popular, I used to do this impression, and it worked at parties, but here it is. And where did you find the forgery? He like will approach a scene like stalk in like prey and say the most arbitrary line of dialogue. Like he'll give a pregnant pause for like 40 seconds as he like postures totally. And he's like, so you're saying you're innocent. You're like, wait, what the fuck?
Have you
and
seen
to me, like that just keeps you on your toes the whole time.
Have you seen the BoJack Horseman making fun of him?
No.
There's I forgot what season, but basically it's like him. They hired him to be in like a fun sitcom, and he's acting like Vincent D'Onofrio and Samantha Fireman.
That's really funny. I just literally wrote down BoJack D'Onofrio because I will find that clip. Because
it's also an amazing show. I would suggest everyone. It's like Simpsons level layered.
Oh, shit. I started it. I liked it.
Oh, no, BoJack. I was like, Criminal Intent?
Well, you got to watch it the way Lisa watches it.
No, BoJack is so fucking good.
It's visually funny, jokey funny, it makes fun of showbiz. I honestly don't know how people not in showbiz watch it. It is so inside.
Oh, I got to check it out. I've watched like probably the first season and really loved it and just didn't get back on.
It's one of my sleep time shows, I would say.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So I've watched it a lot.
Like, you mean a show that you put on because you've seen it before and you're just comfortable falling asleep to it. It's not loud or garish or like will surprise you or anything like
that.
Yeah,
well, I love watching The Simpsons as well because I've seen it so much, but Abe Simpson's voice will pop me out of bed. I can't hear his
horny
voice.
As fuck.
Wait, who's Abe Simpson?
Homer's dad, grandpa.
Oh, the grandpa.
His voice is like nails on a chalkboard for me, and I'm like, I can't hear his voice. It really fucks me up.
That is a wild, like,
honestly,
I love
with Seinfeld with Morty,
the Costanza, Mrs. Costanza.
Mrs. Costanza. Yes, yes. I can't.
What do you mean? I love her.
I didn't watch Seinfeld until it came out on Hulu. And now I've watched it all dozens of times. And I take quizzes online and I'm pretty good. Like I get it. But I didn't watch it till I was an adult. And
I watched it when it was like on.
Yeah, I feel lucky because I didn't know about New York. And then living in New York and then watching the show, it's like, yes.
My family watched that show. It was like The Simpsons and Seinfeld were shows that like my dad enjoyed. My mom would watch. No idea if she processed any of it. And then me and my brothers of all different ages would fucking dig those shows too. Seinfeld and Simpsons had that same thing too, where you could laugh at half of it at like 12 and then laugh at the other half
at
25 and then laugh at all of it at 35 when you're like back to comfortable with yourself.
Yeah.
Caught my neighbor in the driveway yesterday. This is the neighbor who uses ShipStation to send out vintage clothes she finds and runs out of her little store. I don't fully understand what she's doing on that side, but she keeps talking to me about ShipStation. thankfully, because they're an advertiser on my podcast and they make her life so much easier, make it super productive. She's got her own online store and that part's easy, but then she realized she was like overwhelmed with the shipping stuff. But ShipStation is the number one shipping software for e-commerce sellers with more five-star reviews anywhere else. No matter where you're selling, whether it's Etsy, Amazon, your own website, ShipStation can funnel all your orders into one simple interface that you can manage from anywhere, even your cell phone. You'll get even access to amazing discounts with major carriers, including UPS, FedEx, and USPS. Easily compare carriers and choose the best solution every time. With ShipStation, small businesses can now access the same rates usually reserved for Fortune 500 companies without the contracts or commitments. Actually, that was the first thing my neighbor Kat said to me, was that she's saving money with it and it's costing her less because of those discounts. But to me, the exciting thing was how much easier it is, because that's a little more universal. But ship more in less time. All you got to do is use my offer code MIGHTY, M-I-G-H-T-Y, to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months of free, no-hassle, stress-free shipping. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in MIGHTY. That's ShipStation.com, S-H-I-P-S-T-A-T-I-O-N.com, and enter offer code MIGHTY. Make ship happen. Welcome to StockX. Oh, yeah. We got some cool products advertising on High and Mighty, the only live marketplace for what's now and what's next. Whether it's sneakers, that's the one I know I see people use it the most for, apparel, electronics, collectibles, or trading cards, everything on StockX is brand new and 100% verified authentic. With StockX, you have the power to shop millions of hard-to-find or sold-out products at their true market value. Discover products that are on trend and ahead of the trends by shopping on StockX. All you have to do is download the app or sign up online, and you can start buying and selling in a few easy clicks. Start shopping at StockX.com. StockX.com. StockX. Let's talk Law & Order highlights. Let's talk shining stars that don't get a lot of mention. B.D. Wong, fucking guy, gorgeous human being, and love a character who's like, and I am, as an atheist, like, he's the, and an anti, like, I don't trust a lot of the criminal psychologists and shit, but he's just so, like, touching in that role that I'm like, listen to him, Stabler. Like, anytime he's on, I'm like, trust him. And the blonde DA, whose name I never remember.
Stephanie March, Alex Cabot.
Yes, I loved her.
And you know who else loved her? Mickey Rourke. Gave B.D. Wong and Stephanie March special shout outs in his manifesto. No, she's one of my favorites. I think she's like my favorite DA. And then after that, maybe Diane Neal as Casey Novak, who we did have on our podcast, and she was amazing.
So yeah, since you've watched it, we've talked from the cast to Captain Cragen and ADA Casey Novak.
Oh shit. Cragen's the bald old J.K. Simmons dude.
Not J.K. Simmons, because he was on for the first season.
Oh, because he was actually,
Not actual J.K. Simmons, but he does have a J.K. Simmons like vibe. Yeah.
Are you an Oz boy? Type. Did you watch
Oz Boy?
Yeah, Oz.
I watched Oz. Yeah.
Me too.
I loved Oz.
So that's another BD.
A BD vehicle.
A lot of
a BD
crossover.
Vehicle. Well, it's funny because talk about watching a show too young. When did Oz come out? Like in the 90s? Right?
I watched
in the late
90s? In junior high, and I used to have a joke like, it's fucked up. I was just watching anal jail rape as a child. Like, it obviously influenced my sexuality in some sort of a way.
Well, but we've talked to so many Oz people on our podcast, and Lisa's always like, I watched Oz in junior high, and they're all like, whoa.
Yeah. I just looked, it started in 97. I remember watching it on HBO, so I would have been 15 or 16 at that time.
And you know, the brothers are really brothers. Dean Winters and Scott William Winters are really brothers. Cyril and the Ira and Riley.
Oh, shit. I had no idea. Yeah, I mean, I fell in love with him on Oz and followed mayhem everywhere he went.
Everywhere, yes.
And then I was an extra on 30 Rock for like three seasons. And I overlapped with him.
When he
and
was it just the be Beeper
like,
King?
Yeah, and I'd be like, I hope he's on set today. I'd love to just see him.
I saw him twice in New York. Once I was in a bar looking out the window and he was in the street and he saw me lose my mind and was like, kind of like, okay, bitch. And then the second time I was in New York, I forgot what it's called, but it's one of the oldest bars in Manhattan. It's like from the 1800s or something.
McSorley's?
I don't, maybe it's like downtown Irishy, but he walked in to get a to-go order. He kissed the waitress on the cheek. Like, he was a regular there. It was thrilling.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was exciting. Are you a Sex and the City person?
Yes.
Because that's another show. I was going to mention it earlier, like when we were talking about Seinfeld, where that show, I was like, people don't just eat out all the time and like with their friends. And then I moved to New York. I'm like, yeah, we do.
Yeah, that's exactly what you do
all the time. And it felt so cool to be like, I'm fucking Sex in the City. I'm out to eat.
Oh, me and my wife rewatched it together when we moved into Brooklyn. We were like, she worked at New Line Cinema and got like gifted like the Sex in the City box set. We were like, we're gonna go home and watch this now that we're quote unquote New Yorkers. And it was such a I love that show. And that show, we recently watched a bunch of episodes. We'll revisit a show like that kind of in the background. And it's so timely, they got getting a lot of stuff wrong a little, but it's still funny. And Carrie is the pits.
Yeah.
She's this is something I'd never picked up on before until I rewatched it in the last couple of years. She's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah,
she's
I think
like
that's
walking
what you realize,
her friends
like,
into
as,
traps.
With like as the show ages, you're like, oh, Carrie's bad. I also personally think the writing is really bad. I think the situations are amazing. I think the situations, I all the time go, oh my God, that's a Sex and the City episode. That's just like what happened on Sex and the City. Like the way they brainstormed the show and like put out episodes was amazing. I think the writing is bad and I stand by that. And Lisa and I will get into a fight about it, I'm sure.
It was corny. Yeah.
But Samantha's fun, like, oh, then you can go tap dance with Mr. Bone Jangles. Like, I don't know, like Dick and Yakuchi Pronto. Like, there is a lot of...
show I learned a lot of things from.
Yes.
Like, from watching that show, I was just like, I mean, when it was first on too, I was like peak horniness, loving Kim Cattrall. You know what I mean? And just like watching a show like that felt like, I've got the same sensation I got when I was like 12 watching 90210. I felt like I was reading a girl's diary in a way. You know what I mean? Where,
yeah.
And I should look up when Sex and the City came out because it's going to be like, you were 21 when that came out.
I mean, it's kind but of one it, of...
It's like reading Cosmo when you're a kid. You're
yeah,
like,
yeah,
ooh,
yeah,
yeah.
Oh my God. I was reading 17 when I was like 12. My parents were like, what? Why?
But Cosmo's meant for teenagers. If you're a grown woman reading Cosmo, you need help. That's not okay. Second, I would like to sadly say I am a Carrie. And it sucks. It sucks.
That's
what
so
makes
true.
You a Carrie, Lisa?
She's chaotic like Carrie.
I have no money. You know the line where it's like, why are you taking the bus when you're on the bus? That's me. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm successful. I'm in the movies, baby. And then it's like, I'm in a studio apartment. I bought all this art, had no savings, don't have any money, can't get any. I've never rented a car. I don't want to cook. I don't wash dishes. I wouldn't be able to do anything without my friends ever.
You're Carrie, and that does suck.
Chabris. This is a debate on our podcast that our listeners have gone like psychotic about. Lisa wants to have a silverware drawer where she just throws all the silverware in a drawer. No divider, no separating the different kinds, just fucking silverware loose life jungle.
If she's not hosting, how much does she need in there? It can't be that hard to keep track. You know what I mean? Like, just get like two forks, two knives, two spoons. You're made in the shade. You don't need. But I'm. It's not that hard to also have the sorting tray in there.
I don't like it.
It's zero extra effort.
It ruins my life having to put them in those little things. I don't like it.
It's so insane that would ruin your life. But one more thing about Sex and the City, that I want to say is this is why I'm hesitant about the reboot, because it's not going to have Samantha. And I do think she is like the lifeblood of the show. She's the funniest part of the show. And
anyone who says otherwise was like processing the show in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, you can love Charlotte, Miranda, and Carrie, but like, if you think it might stand without, I don't think it would stand with any of them missing, to be honest. And Cattrall, Samantha, especially.
Charlotte can go.
What?
I think
Charlotte.
We don't need Charlotte for a successful show. Sorry, I feel terrible.
I think you do for a reboot. If you're trying to capture the magic, you got to capture the fucking magic. It's so weird. It's like, all right. So Lisa is Carrie. Who are you? You think from Sex and the City?
I mean, I am a Miranda for sure.
She has her Palm Pilot. Her schedule's in there. She's putting on a baseball cap and walking fast.
I mean, I'm not getting adult braces. I'm not marrying Steve, but I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you kind of did marry Steve.
Did I marry Steve?
Yeah, you kind of. You didn't not marry Steve. You didn't marry Big or Baryshnikov. You married either Aiden. You either married.
Yeah. I was like, did I marry more?
You married the comic
book
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you did.
I married Power Lad.
Yeah. My favorite line is Miranda when the cop that's like too hot for her, they go on a date and she gets too drunk. And then they're at the apartment. And she goes, I'm no Mina Suvari, but I'm great in bed. It's like the best. It's the best.
That is very funny.
I like Gabriel, when she's shopping for her wedding dress and goes, nothing white, nothing that says virgin. We have a child. The jig is up.
Yeah. You're so busy. I say that a lot, but there's a lot of crossover because of New York with Sex and the City and SVU cameos. Like, it is awesome. It's like, oh, that's the sports guy that fucked Samantha. Wow, you know, there's a lot of
yeah, yeah.
Even
yeah.
Watching, we just did The Sopranos, and that was a lot of like, and because especially Samantha's, besides Smith Jarrett, like, she has like a new B story every episode. So like you remember a lot of those people, like Slattery and the piss guy, mm-hmm. all that shit. So you remember all those, but watching Sopranos, we were like, oh my God, that's the guy from like revisiting old prestige HBOs lets you just see, cause all those people end up working forever. And you just like unpack, you're like, this guy from The Sopranos, I didn't even know he was in The Sopranos, and now he's like this huge actor. And same with Sex and the City, same with Law and Order, same with all Oz. You're like watching, you're like, oh, if you've never seen Oz, you go back and watch Oz. You go, now I see why these six act, like I see why Edie Falco, J.K. Simmons, Maloney, Dean Winter, B.D. Wong, the dude from Lost, he's in the wheelchair in the show. His name is escaping
me now.
He's
awesome. He's in an SVU as well.
Yeah,
Harold,
he's in an SVU.
Paranow.
Yes, good call from Lost. Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, that means
he's in Claws, which I love. I love Claws.
Oh, yeah, I have to watch
Claws. Oh, I don't watch Claws. Tiff loves Claws.
Claws is psychotic, and I could see why Tiffany would like it. Okay. It is like a Sex and the City, like, did like a fuck ton of meth. Like, it is a wacko show. Like,
that's perfect.
Nuts.
I think I'm a Miranda or a Charlotte. I'm like, it's a bummer because I'm like a mix of the two worst people.
You're
I'm
a
probably,
Samantha.
Honestly, I'm probably a Samantha meets Burger, which is
no.
the worst.
No, you're not Burger.
Tiff says I'm Aiden. That's who
That's
she says.
Good.
She's like,
I mean,
she's like Carrie should have married Aiden, but you don't blame her for going back to
No,
Big.
Because Aiden didn't want Carrie.
Yes.
He wanted her to change for him.
Right. Didn't want who Carrie was.
Yeah.
Wanted,
like he wasn't going to go out to a fancy thing. Like he was like, throw away your shoes, eat chicken with me, you know?
Yeah. <Throw away. laughs>
Yeah. That's a fucking. All right. Now I see what my wife's talking about.
But Burger was like, I hate your success. Shut up. I don't want to talk about it. Like he was.
No, Burger is bad. Burger's bad. You're not a burger.
Yeah. He's no joke.
You're not a burger, Gabrus.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. No.
So I love D'Onofrio on CI, but like, do you guys have favorites from, I mean, it's so iconic. It's like talking about your favorite Warner Brothers character. Like, you know, your favorite, who's your favorite Looney Tune?
Well,
it's like,
I have right. a Tweety.
Yeah. Okay. Of course.
Well, duh.
I can't pick. I'm sorry. They're all my children.
Most
I mean,
people
if we had
are
to pick somebody who was non-Mariska.
Right. Because
she's just like the queen. I mean, she carries the show. She's like, you know, like if you had to pick somebody like as your favorite on that show who's like a not Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah, because everyone that comes on, we interview, they're just like, she's an angel, a beacon of hope. She's everything. She's the heartbeat, the blood of that show. She's the, like, no one has said
Isn't
even
that so amazing?
Not
that
a
makes
single
me so
word.
Fucking happy.
Not a single word.
Oh, I do have one
negative.
Thing I don't love. Her and her husband's first date was going to church. So that's just something that, you know,
that's
if
whack.
I have to give
You don't
her
have to
knock.
Say that. Like, if that's even true, you should know not to tell people that. Like, and if it's a lie to sound more Christian or something, yikes.
Yeah.
We go to the nurse, Hargitay has a...
I thought we were going to go to a caller. You picked up your finger. Yeah, like,
and
okay,
hold on the line is Mariska Hargitay saying, what'd you say about church, bitch?
You go to Mickey Hargitay's plants?
Yes. My wife, Tiff, and our friend, they garden together, go there frequently. And I was just like, I didn't even put it together that it's a family fucking business.
Yeah, I think I think it maybe was her dad's, but then it was being run by her older brother, who's like much older than her, I think, like in his 60s or 70s or something like that, like an older half brother or something. I've looked it up before.
I'm going to say, like, Samantha on Sex and the City equals iced tea on SVU.
I think you're right. It's the flavor. It's the excitement. It'd be hard without.
Yeah, them. He's got the jokes. The like, he talks back to the perps. Like,
they both don't know
silly.
How to talk about trans people in a respectful way. Yeah,
it's
really
yeah.
good.
He loves porn.
So that's the messed up.
I'm just saying that's the real like linked between them.
Like, both don't have the vocab for the things they're talking about. It's a sign of the times that they were made, although Law and Order's a little newer. Ice, figure it out. He's the king. I grew up, what got me into comedy was in ninth grade. Evening at the Improv was on A&E from 6 to 7 a.m. every morning, and 7 is when I had to leave for school. So two episodes back to back, I watched every single morning before school. I got up at 6 and got ready on the commercials while I watched like old bad 70s stand-up in like 1994, just memorizing it. And I became a Richard Belzer fan in high school. Like my dad was like, yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. And he was like the only guy who knew who Richard Belzer. Everyone's like, yeah. The Adam Sandler tape's hysterical. I'm like, yeah, I love it. Have you guys heard of Belzer? He does this thing about Bruce Springsteen being richer than God. It's really funny. It's like, it's 1995, Gamers. None of these references are landing. But because of that, when I watched Law and Order, I was like, that's Belzer. He's so fucking funny. It's like, that was important.
He drives
to me
nuts.
Yeah, it's, well, I like that they like wrote him up to be crazier and crazier all the time. It's like, just lean into it. He's like a conspiracy guy. He's going to be QAnon by season 15.
Oh, and there's him talking about shredding documents, you know. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, Munch is not on anymore, but I mean, we can't weigh out that they're going to bring him back. Like, they definitely will at some point. And he'll be like, I bet he'll be like, I dabbled in QAnon. Like, I can absolutely see it.
Well, sorry, I've been gone, guys. Since January 6th, I've been under FBI investigation from storming the Capitol.
Munch at the insurrection.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of off-duty cops there, I feel like, so.
And then I feel like Kara and I, we both have, like, we're excited about judges. Like, when we love Petrovsky, we love Judith Light. We love some of the judges a lot.
Yeah,
well.
Judith Light is has an iconic character on that show. She's like a bitchy fucking judge. And then she becomes, later she moves up to like a higher than a judge position and she's...
Fred Hampton.
That's some of the best shit they do is when they move narrative along with casting where it's like, this same person is playing the same person, but now they are the commander or whatever. Like, I love shit like that. That happens a couple of times where you see a character early on and they just live long enough that they get to be in the show as something else.
Well, what do you think about this, Gabriel? Because this is one of the debates that Lisa and I have on the show is on our show is that it takes me out of it when I see a person that I saw in season 3 as like a victim. And now we're on season 6 and they're like the boss at a company and they're a different character. And I'm like, but I'm in the universe. I watch the show. I remember this person from another episode. And I know actors are like, yeah, but it's like good for us. We want to get hired again and again. And it's like, of course. But me as a viewer, I'm like, a lot of shows would never do that, you know?
Well, me as a viewer and also an actor who's never been cast on Law and Order. Anytime anyone's repeated, I'm like, I got a fucking New York accent. I have New York face. Put me in a fucking, I'm fat. I look like a cop. Put me in a uniform. Have Stabler choke me out. I look like a pervert too. I could play anything on Law and Order. And I was just like, I'm so mad. And so whenever there's a repeat, I'm like, you couldn't have got, especially a repeat of a white dude. It's like, fucking pick me.
Also, this reminded me, another great thing about SVU is like, obviously it's a little cop ganda-y, but they are ACAB, because any other cop that's not SVU is a piece of shit or a fucking idiot or a
rapist. A loser. Yeah.
They're the worst. They don't see the evidence. They don't want to share the files. They don't want to be nice to the victim.
Yeah. So the beat cops kind of like lose shit. They're bad.
Yeah.
We also read, Gabrus, not that you're auditioning for Law and Order anymore because you're out here, but like, somebody told us, or we read somewhere, that you're more likely to get cast as like a cop if you have a cop uniform.
Yes. I remember hearing early on in my career. It's like, if you have a firefighter's uniform or a cop uniform, you could get cast a lot. And that's like true for extra work for sure. It's like dudes just roll up with their own little like suit bag with a police uniform in it. I played a firefighter on Brooklyn Nine-Nine this last season. And the woman who was playing my non-speaking firefighter partner, she's like, yeah, I play firefighter in everything. I just have the face.
I just have the suit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and she does look like a lady who you'd be confident can climb a ladder and carry a hoe. You know what I mean? Like, she sells the role of a female firefighter. So when she shows, she's like, yeah, I get cast like this all the time. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's like, you have the jacket? She's like, yeah.
I was on an audition once where they were also auditioning real fucking women firefighters, and I was just horny out of my mind. Like, it was really hot. I remember asking the casting director later, I was like, so did that girl get this part or what? Like, are we gonna see each other?
Fuck yeah. Guys,
is it done?
It doesn't have to be.
I have a question for you.
Let's do it.
What
please.
Is your dream role on SVU?
Oh shit. I would love, I want it to be a cop who is in over his head, like dealing with an SVU thing, like a guest star cop who's like, no, I'm normally just Robert, but that was when I was younger. I think now I want to play a dad who people are maybe suspicious of.
But are you a red herring or are you guilty?
I'm a red herring. I have to hope my charm shines through, and it's like, he's not really a pedophile murderer, you know. He's getting railroaded by SVU. Like, that's what I would want to play. or just a guy, a bouncer in a bar is like, whoa, not too fast, and like I get like fucking alpha'd by Stabler.
One of those bouncers that's like, yeah, I checked his ID. I remember where he lived, somewhere in the upper 80s. Yeah. I think it was 417 East 80th Street. You're like, how do you fucking remember all? Yeah,
bouncers in New York are just, like Mulaney's bit about that too. Is like the bartender's like, wait, yeah, the gin and tonic. I remember. It's like showing a New York City bartender who served 10,000 drinks the night before a Polaroid of a woman out of the context of her going out.
They know how she paid. They're like, she paid with a card.
She seemed upset. Yeah. I feel like she might have been fighting with an ex or something. It's like, really?
Oh, my God.
I can't even get a bartender to notice me to buy a drink. You're saying you've unpacked this woman's entire history.
I was just in New York, and, I'm just hitting the town again. Just got vaxxed. Okay, so
hell yeah,
there was a gay couple, like two little twinks. I could say twinks or not.
I
don't know on this podcast. Yes, but we'll let other people decide.
So just fully fighting and breaking up, and I was like, thank God I get to witness this. It was awesome. Like, they were aggressively chopping their food like in a movie. They were like, you should not be this angry. I mean, fully breaking up for like an hour. It was such a lucky day.
I miss that about New York.
Life finds a way.
I miss that about New York, like overhearing people's bullshit. And like, because it's like, even when LA was pre-pandemic, we just didn't have it the same way.
I realize, having been out of New York now for 8 or 9 years, I realize how much of a voyeur I am in a way, where I'm like, I love to know strangers' business. I love to hypothesize strangers' business. Tiffany always gets on me. She's like, how did you think? I'm like, I think because I heard her fighting with her boyfriend earlier. So here's my opinion. I think the boyfriend and her have a mutual friend that he was like a little too. Tiffany's like, where did you get all that from? I'm like, I maybe filled out some gray, like, you know, like a moth story. I'm like, I got some details I can fudge to help this sound better.
I added some color.
What about you, Lisa? Who would you want to play on Law & Order?
It changes all the time, but in the moment, I want to be someone that gets pulled away in the courtroom in cuffs while I'm thrashing.
Oh, yes. That's a good one. I want to pay a group of women money to do that to me, not on camera. Hyper-specific fetish of mine. I want to be like, scream. I want someone to scream, you're in contempt of court, while six women bailiffs drag me out of a room.
This is real. It sounds real.
It's adjacent to real.
It seems real.
Yeah, getting the shit kicked out of me by a group of women.
Or like tricked on the stand and then realize, confess.
Getting duped.
And then like have to be like, ah! Like, I mean, yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
There was
a getting
episode
a bill
we,
to a meltdown is high, is hot. Like, that's a fun one, yeah.
Just an episode we watched where the actress Mary Kay Place goes, I help people. What have you ever done, you stupid bitch? And they're dragging her out of court while she says it. And Elisa's like, that's my dream role.
That's awesome, because that's such a long line to say while being dragged out. And it's still a little sassy. That's fun. What about you, Clank? Dream role on Law & Order.
Probably like a bitchy defense attorney. I'd love to come in and be like, I think we're done talking to my client now, you know?
Yeah, not to lean full, not to continue the Miranda path, but you have strong lawyer energy. I mean, I met you when you were an we met way back in the day when you were an assistant, like to an executive. So in my mind, you were like organized and like paying attention at that.
And I played your boss in a television show.
And you played the boss. And I thank you for calling that a television show.
I mean,
who knows?
A late night video that Spike TV put on air.
That Spike TV contractually had to air once each or something like that, where you and I made each. I was the star and co-lead. Yeah, you got rolled into your assistant salary. I got it rolled into my writer's deal, which was like $200 a day or something crazy.
We got
and it was
played.
The most money I ever made in my. We were talking about mocap the other day for the listeners and potentially Lisa. Me and Kara used to work at the same production company way back in the day, and they got this weird development deal to make this web video into a TV series for super low budget, because it was all shot on a green screen without ever putting anything into the green screen. Like, the premise of the show is the green screen is there.
Right.
And I'm in a blue suit.
The reason they got to sell it was because it was the writer's strike, right? So it was like completely we were making all this non-union content or whatever, because they were
it was like,
we don't have anything.
Oh my God. And we worked for like 3 weeks in this weird ass studio across from the UN with, I'm going to leave people's names out of it, with a bunch of weird people in hindsight, a lot of people with, and we were talking about this the other day, because I took the money I made on that. I remember it too, because I took me and Tiffany to Costa Rica, our first vacation as like a couple, not going with one or the other's parents. I did it, and I was like, with my mocap money, I remember it was $3,500 for the two of us. We went to like the shittiest, like in hindsight, I was like, it's all inclusive, babe. And that now we're 40 and we're elevated levels of bougie, her especially. In hindsight, I'm like, I would cringe at the place I brought her that cost $3,500 with travel for two people for five nights. But that
you
was
liked
like
it
the level
at the time.
I fucking loved it at the time.
Yeah.
We got like propositioned for a threesome and we weren't into it, but it was just exciting that this older woman was like, so what are you guys doing tomorrow? What are you guys doing tonight? Like, this woman who's vacationing alone. And Tiffany was like, the other day revealed when we were talking about that Costa Rica vacation, I think because you came up because you recently got flowers from her for someone. So we're talking about Clank, talking about mocap, talking about this Costa Rica vacation. And she goes, you know, and she knows the name too. She's like, you know, Lydia still is in contact with me on social media.
The threesome,
like,
lady?
Yes. Well, Tiffany's like, I truly believe it's not it was never a threesome at this point. I'm like, let us have this. We were fucking 25. It has been so nice to think.
You guys have been together a long time.
Yeah, we've been together since junior year of college.
Wow.
So February was 18 years, us being together.
I love that.
It's insane. Yeah. It's crazy. It is a way to do a relationship, but it is pretty wild to be like 40 and be like, I've only lived with this part. Like, it's just it's amazing, but it's crazy that people are like, yeah, when I talk about like, yeah, I hooked up with this girl once. That story is from 2002.
Yeah.
Like that was, we were talking about hookups on a random podcast. It was like, actually, I did some sketchy shit with it, whatever, blah, blah. And someone's like, knowing how long you've been with Tiffany, that means this happened when you were, I was like, yeah, 17 years old. This is a story from when I was 17. I don't have any cool sex stories that I want to share as an adult because they're all like, I titty fucked my wife. It's like, who wants to hear that? Like, what'd you do last night? Oh, you know the woman who's cooking us dinner? We went after each other. It's like, no, it's not the same when it's your lifelong partner when you could talk about it. Like, no one needs to know my wife is good in bed. That just feels weird. Like, that shouldn't come up to my guy friends.
No.
Yeah, Gabrus's wife fucks like a champ. It's like, that seems, why am I still talking about it?
I like
I'm
it.
Panicking, like spiraling. I'm like, I sweat.
I do want to, this is more fun, but I did want to add, Kara is very organized.
Yes.
Oh, in terms of me being a defense attorney, I'm sure I'd come up with some fucked up reason why.
No,
my
but he said you were
client should get off.
And my favorite little tidbit I say is like, before Kara and I are done having the conversation, I have a Google Cal invite. It's ready. It's set. We can move it a half an hour. It's getting moved.
But that's it.
It's getting moved. It's not just like, okay, but it's and then there's just a lot of spreadsheets and then. Like our documents, there's just so many indentations. It's like so many different categories of notes.
I'm very comfortable with the whole Google suite of products. And I use them.
But we couldn't have a successful podcast without it. I'm glad I don't have to do it. It would be a mess without me. I just like, I don't know how she does it. Yeah. I put shit in my calendar on the day, not even in the time where it actually is.
She put something in her calendar the other day and goes, I put something in my calendar at 11 a.m. and I just wrote 11 a.m. What do you think that is?
Brunch? Lisa, I'm definitely from the Lisa camp, yeah. But have over the years taught myself clank abilities due to like, I can't survive without iCal now. And I'm at the point where I'm like, the Action Boys podcast I host with two other people, I'm like, okay, so here are the 11 dates we have scheduled the next, like, you know, and I'm the guy sending that, and I was never that guy, but now I have like weird anxiety. Look how sweaty I am. I have weird anxiety about fucking this up. So like I've flipped where I've now like I've gotten like a little bit. I guess you can't be a little OCD, like that's like stolen valor for an actual neurological condition, but I got like way more organized in only the last couple years at like 37, 38. I finally was like, let's start tabbing in emails. Let's start saving things in calendars and doing calendar invites with people. Now my Zoom schedule, I've got it all sorted out. I'm so, Lisa, I'm not pushing you in any direction, but once you do it, it does free you up to be
I'm going to follow up with you in like 4 years when Lisa's 37 and she's sending me like Google Excel docs. I can't wait.
I just don't think so. I feel before I get to that, I just have so many other things to work on. I just like Google Cows.
It's not at the top.
It's well, not at the
if
top.
If I could speak from personal experience, Lisa, you'll try to work on the other stuff, realize that's super difficult and go, hey, at least I can get organized. No, I'm still a malicious asshole who pushes people away. Oh, okay. Yeah. But I'm getting more organized. You're still, see food as love. Yeah, that's fine. But like I'm organized now, like I'm fixing, it's like I finally got the license plate holder I needed for this car that can barely run. It's like aha. Yes, perfect. It's like, you sure you don't want to work on the engine, dude? It's like no, the license, I'd rather be boogie boarding. Perfect.
I will never boogie board. I haven't and I refuse.
Dude, I've been taking surfing lessons.
Oh,
this
our friend
year.
Has too in
one
the pandemic
of our good friends.
Yes, I got. I used to surf way back in the day, on Long Island, and then once I moved to the city, I never did it for 16 years. And then I stood up for the first time in 16 years on like those foam top things that are practically kayaks. You know, like a 300 pounder can stand up without much skill, but it was fucking rad.
That's
I felt
so
like
cool.
That's another thing I could. I will never. No interest.
Don't ever. Don't say. Oh, no interest. That's fair, but never say we'll never because. fuck it. You're gonna be like mega loaded someday. You're gonna be like, yeah, I'll surf while I'm here in Hawaii.
I'd rather
like
paddle. I don't know. I'd rather swim. <that's fair. laughs> I'd rather put a snorkel.
For the listeners, Lisa's explaining what paddling and swimming looks like for me and Clay.
Limp doggy paddle.
And then a limp breaststroke for him. I'd rather swim, paddle, maybe dance, maybe lift weights. It's like, okay. She's talking to us like you were a flight attendant. And buckle up. Overheads.
Yeah, I could see myself snorkeling, trying to look at, you know, some turtles, but... Surfing? No.
Yeah.
I'll go on a catamaran.
Who wouldn't? That was going to be my next question.
While it surfs over the water.
My next question was, how do we feel about catamarans? I was just about to, you cut me off. What about catamarans?
You think about The Simpsons often? Like just now, this catamaran reminded me of an episode immediately.
Well, now that you said Simpsons, it making me think of the D Bar D episode with the HMS Pinafore song.
Okay.
The boat where they...
Cape Fear episode.
The Cape Fear episode. That's the reference I was thinking. Again, a movie I didn't see till 10 years after I watched that episode a dozen times.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I saw Kate, and that's a movie I saw too young, and it terrified me. I think I watched Cape Fear when I was 11 and was like...
that should terrify you. Yes.
No, I thought of the glass bottom boat. But I don't remember what episode they like win these tickets, but yeah. And then the shark keeps knocking on the glass.
I think I'm gonna start fucking slapping Hulu Simpsons on in the back or
Disney
whatever channel
Plus.
They're on. Disney Plus, even.
But I was talking to a very well known Simpsons toy collector. His podcast, and he's like, the new episodes are pretty good, give them a shot. And I watched like seasons 28 through 32 and I enjoyed it. I think we've like built up this thing of like only old, and I was like, this is fun. I don't know why.
Christine Nagle writes on it, doesn't she, Gabrus?
Oh my God,
yeah.
Her
Nan
Philly
Gang,
impression girl is like one of my favorite, and her four landscapes, she's so funny.
She's one of the funniest people. I've known her forever. She rules. Nang's been on the pod before. We have the same birthday. wait, going back to, I think part of the reason why modern Simpsons might be hitting is because old Simpsons were so good. You know, like when we talk classic Simpsons, like the Conan years, we talk about them so good that when it falls off, you're like, oh, bummer. This fell off. It was so good. But now everything sucks so much that it's like, honestly, I'd love to rewatch the old Simpsons after that I hated when I was fucking 16 and 20. I wonder how I'd feel now based on how shitty most TV is. It might be like a beautiful release to be like, I can't believe we hate, because that's something I'm learning on the Action Boys podcast, is like watching these old action movies that when I was a kid, I was like, lame. But now that everything is like Disney and Star Wars, I'm like, oh, we didn't know how good we had it. We have like these big budget dumb properties.
I have a name drop brag, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I did a pilot that didn't get picked up with the terrorist from True Lives.
Oh shit.
He was like the patriarch in the it was like a family sitcom, and I was a kooky best friend, but I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? I don't remember his name. Like, that's so rude.
Just watched it. He's like, they call themselves like the Red Jihad or something is the name of their, it's a very tackily named organization.
Something that's probably offensive today.
Oh yeah.
100%. But his eyes were just big and he shot.
Majestic.
Like, it was just like the True Lies rocked my world. I remember.
Ah, fucking great movie. Great Jim Cameron movie. Guys, people, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty and talking Law and Order. For fuck's sake, this was so rad. tell the shitheads, tell my listeners where they can find you guys, both on the pod and separately. What's going on?
Well, our podcast is called That's Messed Up. We're That's Messed Up Podcast on Instagram, and I think That's Messed Up Pod on Twitter. And our new episodes come out every Tuesday anywhere you guys pod. And I'm Kara Klank everywhere. And
I'm Glitter Cheese.
Glitter Cheese. That's why you're one of those people that you can like talk about as their handle a little bit. You know, like I saw Glitter Cheese last night at the store and she crushed.
That makes
like,
me it kinda so works. Happy. I think nicknames are cool. I mean, it's embarrassing because I made that one up. But Even when people call me by my last name or like Trey, I love a nickname. It makes me feel special.
You have a good last name for getting called by it too. Like, you know, it's
Traeger.
Yeah, it's like Sergeant Traeger. You know, get in my office. Clank, of course, works too. Hard consonants in the beginning and the end, yeah, and one syllable and six letters. It's like it's the name's doing a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but what I was going to, one thing about our podcast, if you're listening, like you don't have to be like a huge SVU fan to watch it. A lot of people, or to listen to it. A lot of people have written us and been like, I don't even watch the show. I just listen to you guys talk about it. So
yeah, people should just listen because you're two of the funniest comics working.
That's what I do with Gander. Trixie and Katya. I don't watch Netflix anymore. I just watch them watch Netflix. And I'm like, that's enough.
Yeah, that's plenty. Who fucking needs it? Oh, I just want to say, for the listener's sake, when we were planning this record, I'm trying to bank a bunch of episodes for the summer. I'm like, I'd love to have you guys on whenever. This is the response I got was, it probably should be this week because Lisa's going on vacation and I'm having a baby. And I was like, oh, he's like, Lisa's going on vacation next week and I'm having a baby the week after. I was like, the way you just said it was like, we're both sort of busy with like, she's got something and I got something. Oh, but you just...
And the last time I was on your podcast, I was like 9 months pregnant.
Mega
I was
pregnant, yes.
I was promoting my album. And so, yeah, I only do High and Mighty when I'm knocked up. So this might be the last time.
I can tell when you're pregnant. The pheromones are in the air. And I'm like, I got to have Clank on. I got to talk to Clank.
I've been wanting to do anything with you for a long time. Since South By.
Fuck yeah, I've been a fan since South By. Since we did Besser's Weed Show. Honestly, that's how I've, like... waiting to go on stage during Besser's Weed Show, where Besser goes on a lot. You and I were just backstage talking, had never met. I'm like, this fucking woman is hysterical.
We had fun. And I was like, the same lineup year after year.
Like a year later. Yeah, I was like, well, who's saying yes to a weed show as everyone is getting old? The guy who's 50-something and hosts it, and the guy who's in his late 30s and guests on it. It's like, eventually it's like, what are we still doing weed shows for? And it's like,
who's
I'm
passionate about weed? Let's get the people that are really passionate about it on.
I'm glad to be on that list. Yeah. Yeah, based on our love of weed and Taco Bell, you and I should be fast friends forever. And it's already happened. And I mean... Clank and I have now known each other for 17 years, 16 years or something
so
like that.
Long.
Taco Bell truly is like McDonald's was always my number one, but Taco Bell really has just been the number one for like.
They're chasing it. They're trying to stay number
and
one. McDonald's got comfortable.
They're getting plant-based soon. So I might be patronizing Taco Bell more once I know that there's some more plant-based options for me.
A lot of veg heads like Taco Bell because of the bean substitute gets you like there's no meat in anything
right.
else. So a lot of vegans too, they do dig Taco Bell because you can say lose the cheese, sub beans, and you can get right back to vegan there.
See, I mean, I like their quesadilla, but
oh,
it is,
fuck yeah.
That is good. I'm no vegan.
Give me that Baja sauce, baby. Baja blast me in the fucking face. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Check out their podcast. Follow them. Reply to the tweet about this episode with your favorite Law & Order SVU episode or favorite meme, whatever the fuck you want. I love that Ice T meme that was going around where they were like, all the, because he's always like, kids are doing this thing called blank. You know, like,
there was
a meme where they were just filling it in with insane specifics. That's so
and
fun.
And Christopher Maloney's ass just went viral for like a month.
As it should. I actually, you know what? I'm gonna switch what role I want to play on. I want to play a guy who Christopher Maloney's trying to box out in a pickup basketball
Wait,
game.
Wait, Gabris. Oh, that's so funny. Did you see the Cynthia Nixon, aka Miranda, SVU episode?
No,
she has multiple personalities.
So. Oh shit! I'm writing that down
it's
too.
Alternate season 9, episode 1. It like she either won an Emmy or Golden Globe or was nominated. Like it's incredible.
So I have BoJack D'Onofrio and then Miranda SVU written down. This is a fucking great to-do list.
Yeah.
I'm at Gabris on all social media. Check out my other podcast, Action Boys, Patreon, actionboys.biz, or the Gino Lombardo Show on Stitcher Premium. Use promo code Gino for 1 free month. Get yourself a shirt at gabris.com/shirts and follow me on social media to find out where I'll be traveling to or talking to you from next, which most likely this fucking room. Bye, shitheads. I'm mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!